University.
Hello, you're listening to Extra Extra, Urine's comedy news show, in which we take a slightly more unorthodox look at the news of the week. I'm Ella Vadrinska, and joining me, as ever, it's Abby Houseman.
Hello.
Hello. I don't know why I never say hello to you.
No, we never have to.
I don't know why I did.
You just walk into the kitchen, you're like, here's a thing. That's how we start our conversations normally.
Yes, I should say, we're not actually in our kitchen this week.
Oh.
Last week we were. Well, I like to pretend that it was the snow that prevented us from coming to the URN studios, but actually it was just that it was slightly broken.
Yeah.
It's still slightly broken. I've been told not to mention this, but oh well. It's still slightly broken, but it's fixed enough for us to use it.
We're professional enough that if we just don't move, we should be fine.
So we're going to be covering the biggest news stories of the week, as I say, in a slightly more unorthodox way. I really mean unorthodox when I say that, as you will soon become aware of if you haven't listened to the show before. And kicking us off, one of the biggest news stories of the week so far. Why is Angela Merkel happier than she's been in a while?
This is the news that Germany now has a government. Yay. If you have
you
not been...
sound so sarcastic.
I don't mean to be sarcastic. I'm genuinely happy that the biggest power in Europe has a stable government-ish now. If you haven't been following the story, Germany...
Which I have not.
Germany had some elections about 4 months ago now, and then they didn't have a government. Angela Merkel's party, the Christian Democrats, did not do as well as they were expecting, suffered heavy losses this election season, and so they needed to find...
In votes, not like
in
people.
In votes, not people.
Okay.
Well, they didn't suddenly lose half the party. They were like, where are they? They all went on holiday. They're all like, oh yeah, didn't they tell you? We've got some postcards. Looks lovely.
I like how you went for, oh, they've gone on holiday. And I'm like, they're dead.
They're dead.
Because I'm like, the only time you suffer heavy losses is if you're in a wartime.
gonna say, just for, you know, just
legality's
sake, they're all fine. As I'm aware.
At time of recording.
It's Monday.
You're going to be listening to this. Like, it's not going to be released till Wednesday.
Ooh,
who knows what could happen?
Anything could have happened. But yeah, they need the centre-right party. Luckily, this week it was announced that their party is now in a coalition with the Social Democrat Party, which is the centre-left party. After heavy negotiations and like deals being struck, basically through the night this Sunday. So yeah. They were not watching the Oscars, unfortunately. They were working out, like, okay, so you can have these ministries and we're going to take everything else.
I like the fact that you seem to suggest that, well, A, they're really upset they didn't watch the Oscars.
They've had a giant screening party normally. It's around Ian's house and they couldn't this year. Really upset. They normally have like a ballot. People do fancy dress.
I love that you're suggesting they're upset they couldn't watch the Oscars, but also that if someone didn't watch the Oscars, it was because they were busy sorting out Germany's government.
Those like, are the two things you were doing on a Sunday.
I didn't watch
Unless
the
you're
Oscars.
Listening to Showtime, 6 till 7.
The Oscars started at 1 a.m. for us, Abby. And I was busy sorting out what minister's going to be in charge of agriculture in Germany.
Excellent. There you go.
I can't reveal anything. I'm deeply sorry. I've been sworn to silence.
I can't say anything now. I'm stuck.
I was sworn to silence, Abby, not you.
You don't know what ministries I've been dealing with.
Oh, what ministries were you dealing with?
Finance.
Oh, nice.
I don't know why they put me in charge, but they were like, here you go. They heard about our Brexit deal or no deal situation. They were like, Abby and Ella, they'll help
us. I'll admit the agriculture thing was a rogue option for me. I think it was just because I'm like from Lincolnshire. There's a lot of fields.
They were like, do you know vague stuff? You can ask some people around.
I went to Germany last year. I went to Berlin, and I'll admit, I don't really know. I've know a lot about German history.
Yes.
Maybe a very specific point of German history. Who knows?
We all get taught about quite a bit.
And I went to Germany. I realised as I arrived there that I really didn't know much about their current government. Other than that, like, from what I've heard of Angela Merkel, she seems nice.
She seems
like
very practical.
Yes.
You'd want to go on holiday with her because she'd have everything very sorted out.
I would not, but okay. I think that reveals slightly more about your holidaying habits, Abby.
I just want someone to like go, we're going here at this time, just be at this place. And I'm like, okay, thank
you. That's because you don't do enough coach holidays.
No.
I don't know if I necessarily... I like Angela Merkel. I trust Angela Merkel. I don't really know anything about Angela Merkel,
but I
do know that I don't want to sit on a coach with her for, like, 12 hours trying to get to Italy.
I know she's from East Germany, or what was. And her father was a pastor, that hence the Christian bit, presumably. That's why she's like, this is my party now, rather than like...
I say this as a relatively well-educated master's student at a decent university in the UK. You said her father was a pastor, and it took me way too long to realise you weren't talking about, like, spaghetti. And you were like, hence, Christian party. And I was like,
noodle.
Tagliatelle's specifically religious? I'm with you.
Yes. I mean, as in the church.
Yeah. Not, oh, yeah, I'm with you.
Not culinary.
Pastor with an O and an R.
Indeed.
Rather than an A. But yeah, so where I was going with this all that time ago, I went to Berlin and realised very quickly that I didn't know anything about German politics, because they're just like, they must have been preparing for their elections then. And there are just pictures of Angela Merkel's face everywhere. And then like slightly more angry looking people and slightly like happier looking people.
And you just assumed it was some weird poster campaign. No, this is fun.
No, again, as a relatively well-educated master student at a decent British university, I knew that there was an election coming up and they were like political people. But I realised I didn't know anything about any of the other parties. And then like, I kind of just wanted Angela Merkel to win because...
You know her.
I know of her. She seems to be doing a decent job.
The familiarity is really what gets you.
Yeah.
But it's interesting then, because we just assumed... I think a lot of people just assumed that she'd just get back into power. Mm. They were just like, yeah, no, this will work. Oh, no. Les, like, 4 months ago.
Oh, nine.
It all seemed to be on the point of collapse.
So what's happened now? They've formed a coalition.
It's called the Grand Coalition. They've governed Germany since 2013.
Nice branding there.
Solid. Like, you want the coalition to be anything. You want it to be grand. You don't want it to be like a little coalition.
I mean, I would have gone maybe like stable.
Stable maybe.
But no,
grand
apparently...
Grand has a bit of like pomp and grand circumstance to it. You're really like, ooh, they're going to have like good parades.
Abby, I'm begging you to stop talking about pomp and circumstance and get back to the coalition itself.
The coalition itself.
Pomp and circumstance.
I don't know what. I'm just
they're
saying
going
words.
To have good parades. Because that's what you want from the government.
I don't know.
Distract from all the like, yeah, sorry, we put this random girl from England in charge of agriculture. She knows nothing about it other than that she's from Lincolnshire and lives near some fields. But to distract you from everything that's going wrong, here's a parade and everyone goes, oh, look, they've got a trombone. Don't shrug like that's a decent idea.
It's slightly better than some of the ideas we've had on this show.
I stand by Brexit deal or no deal. The coalition.
The coalition, yes. Yeah. So the three biggest ministries that the... CDU have lost is finance, foreign and labour ministries, which are like the pretty big when you're dealing with Germany, the financial centre of Europe, pretty much.
But they're pretty big.
So that's like the biggest hit Merkel's had to take in order to make the coalition work. Also, the leader of the Social Democrat Party has stepped down as well, which may cause future problems.
Wait, so this person has just ended up going into coalition with the presumably went like one of the most voted for parties and has gone, instead of staying in charge of this, so I've got
some
power. I'm
not going to anymore.
I'm going to step down.
Well, there's been a lot of...
I'm so confused by this.
There's a lot of infighting in his party because the youth wing, which is basically apparently equivalent to like Momentum in the UK.
Oh, as opposed to like the club around the corner where they play table tennis.
apparently they voted heavily for not to be in a coalition. Whereas the leadership voted very much, yes, we should go into this coalition. It'd be good for our party. So that's a lot of infighting. So I think he's gone, well, I'm just going to not do this anymore. Bye.
Well, it worked for the Lib Dems, so...
it works so well for them.
Poor Nick Clegg. Can I just... This is off topic. I remember watching the results of the general election last year, the snap election that was called by Theresa May, which went so well for her. I remember the moment Nick Clegg lost his seat. I genuinely almost cried. It was heartbreaking. I was watching it. There was no one around me because it was like 3 a.m. or whatever. I'm just going, someone give the man a hug, please.
Do you remember when there was only one Lib Dem MP? And do you want to know which constituency the one Lib Dem MP was?
I know for a fact that it was yours.
It was mine. Greg Mulholland, bless him, who then lost out to Labour this election, which was a bit sad because he'd clung on so desperately and then just, nope, not anymore.
So Germany have a government.
Which is good for them. And good for Europe.
How have they coped without? I've realised as you're talking, I don't know anything about Germany.
They've got a lot of systems in place to, like, this is the longest they've gone since post-war without a government. But I think they've got a lot of systems and things in place to ensure that the government keeps running and they're kind of stable, even if the government isn't in place.
Well, on the one hand, that's very efficient.
Yeah.
I'm happy they've done that. But also, who had to come up with that plan of being like...
I don't know.
Just approaching and going like, right, Hans.
You're in charge. And he's like, oh, God. It's like one random person that, like, you just have to sit here. Just sit down. Don't touch anything. Don't move anything. Just hold place, my friend.
Phone that girl from Lincolnshire. She knows about fields.
Yep. But yeah, that's why I think it's taken so long to get a coalition together as well, because they've just so much bureaucracy, because it's what makes their government work, but it's just so much to get anything done. Mm. And so yeah, that's why it's taking so long.
But they now have a government.
But they now have a government.
Which is good.
As of recording, hopefully by Wednesday it's still in place. Otherwise this entire bit...
Tune in
wrong.
Next week to find out more. Following on from that, who else has had cause to celebrate a win this week?
Quite a few people. It was the Oscars yesterday, as of recording, Sunday for you lot. It was the 90th Academy.
I mean, thank you for...
I just thought we're...
I could have just said Sunday from the start.
Sorry. It was the 90th Academy Awards, and a lot of people won. Mainly The Shape of Water won Best Picture. And Jordan Peele won for the screenplay, which was huge because he won for Get Out, which a lot of people were uncertain of it winning anything because it's a horror film and horror films famously don't win at the Oscars. So that was a huge moment for him.
I'm not glad I don't know anything about what happened at the Oscars because I was busy sorting
busy
out
culture.
Agriculture in Germany. I do know that Frances McDormand...
Yes.
Gave a big speech that when she won Best Actress. I would like listeners to know that I was chatting to Abby about this earlier today and I was like, I don't know anything about the Oscars. And she went, oh, that Jane woman gave a speech about the inclusion rider. And I went, do you mean Frances McDormand? That's the one.
I got my speakers mixed up. I meant Jane Fonda and Helen Mirren also did a speech about the Me Too movement and I got everything confused, which is... possibly the worst time to get things confused.
But yeah, it did seem to be like a big... I know that in recent years, big award ceremonies like this have become platforms for people, but this really did seem to go very far.
It's one of the biggest... It's like the biggest story out of the Oscars this year, despite other things also being like newsworthy. This is the one thing, especially because the Merriam-Webster dictionary, they said that their two most googled searches were inclusion and rider. For everyone going, what is this thing? And what it means basically is that if you have an inclusion rider in your contract, the cast and crew need to be 50% diversity fills, which sounds awful. Like, if you just say it plainly, like, you're just hiring, like, diverse people. But it basically will ensure that, for example, Greta Gerwig, who directed Lady Bird, she is one of only, I think, 5 women to ever be nominated for Best Director. Only one woman has ever won for Zero Dark Thirty, I think. So basically, it's trying to address that. But yeah, so it's a big...
I'm not going to lie, I watched the video of Frances McDormand's speech and she goes up on stage. I don't know anything. I don't know about her as an actress. I haven't seen the film.
The film is controversial, which perhaps makes this speech even more important, because the film, you're either, oh, it's really, it's like a sort of satirical look and it's meant to be punchy and edgy, and some people are like, you're just reinforcing these really bad stereotypes.
This is Three Billboards.
Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, which is a hell of a name. Would not get that on an Oscar. Trying to chisel that in.
Do you think he was going to win Best Picture and they went to the chiseling people?
They do. Apparently they take the Oscars off of them and then they go and get inscribed at like the
winner's
party.
They do that with the Tonys as well.
And they're like, oh, for God's
sake.
See,
that's what I know about.
That's what you know.
Musical theatre. Showtime, 6 or 7, Sunday evenings.
Certain award shows.
Very excited. The Olivier Award nominations are announced tomorrow, Tuesday, for us.
They have been announced.
Yesterday, for you lot.
Wednesday, Ella is going to be so excited.
I'm in Lincoln on Wednesday looking at fields.
going, just okay, Germany, here's what you do.
On the phone to Hans being like, so there's this field here.
Looks like wheat at the moment. There's
some grass. Wheat out at the moment. It's winter.
See, this is why you were put in charge of agriculture.
See, I know this sort of thing. But no, I watched the video of Frances McDormand's speech, and at one point she puts down her Oscar on the floor and she gets every female nominee from the night to stand up, whether they're, you know, actresses, directors, screenwriters, designers, costume designers, anything. They all stand up. And like, I'm not going to lie, it honestly nearly made me cry because it was just like everyone was just so cheering and everyone looked so proud, and like Meryl Streep was there. And
which always makes me emotional.
You know, she'd been nominated for an award-winning role as Elon Musk. It was just it's one of those things that you watch and you go, it's really nice that this is happening, but why does it have to happen in 2018? Why is this something that still needs to be said?
The ratio of women that actually stood up, because if it was truly 50-50, there would have been way more. There has been certain criticisms of it, or like questionings of it, because a lot of people were pointing out a lot of the women standing were white. And the people of color, this is not comedy, by the way, this is just straight up real talk about the Oscars, a lot of women of color don't have the opportunities that even white women have, and so if it's difficult enough for them to be nominated, think of how difficult it is for everyone else. There's a lot going on involved in the Oscars and awards in general, especially like the others. So you've got the Screenwriters Guild's award and all those things.
I think we can agree though that one of the biggest travesties, I do not use that word lightly, I should preface this by saying this is now going back into comedy. I don't honestly think that this is as bad as women not getting nominated. One of the biggest travesties of the Oscars is that the song This Is Me from The Greatest Showman didn't win. I'm devastated.
Ella's very upset.
I love that musical. It's so good. I am more upset than I probably should be, though, because I've seen that film. I love that film. The film itself actually is fine. It's not great, but the soundtrack is so, so good. It's by Pasek and Paul, who I love. They are one of my favourite musical theatre duos ever. They, in terms of films, they also did La La Land, the music of that. They've done Dear Evan Hansen and Edges and Dogfight and all these amazing musicals. And the music of The Greatest Showman is, again, oh, this has gone away from comedy again. The music of The Greatest Showman is so, so good, and I honestly love it. And I'm so disappointed that it didn't win, because it's so much better than the song that did.
I don't want to put this into a political term, but like the what Coco, which is the film that won,
the song called Remember Me, Coco.
Emotional impact of that, perhaps showing Mexican culture in specifically, perhaps may have out-edged a sort of weird twisting of Barnum, who is like,
I accept that the film Coco is better than The Greatest Showman.
But
the specific song Remember Me, which I listened to this morning thinking, oh, well, you know, like,
it should be all right.
It's won the Oscar for best song. Like, it should be all right. It doesn't sound that good. Like, it's fine, but it's not very me. I think that's the issue here. I'm just really upset for The
Greatest Showman.
I really like The Greatest Showman.
I know, Ella, personal Oscars that you can craft yourself. It's on its way, Hugh. Just wait.
I want to give Hugh Jackman an Oscar.
Okay.
I just want Pasek and Paul to be credited as the brilliant songwriters they are.
I think they have been. Dear Evan Hansen winning quite a few awards. La La Land winning a couple.
Admittedly, they won the Oscar. They won the Oscar last year for best song, so I'm like, maybe it's okay.
Maybe they've got just a year of like, you know what, we're just going to sit down for a bit. We're just going to take a chill.
What are they going to do now?
I don't know. They've got a big, like, the back catalogue now is, like, pretty in the mainstream. Be interesting. Maybe they'll go more niche again.
Maybe you'll have to tune into Showtime 6 till 7 Ooh. Sunday evenings to find out. Again, with me and Abby. Like, it's just this, but with musical theatre instead of news.
If this is the only thing you listen to, we don't control all of URN. It may sound
at
like
time
we
of
do.
Recording.
Wednesday we staged a revolution. We've locked ourselves in Studio One.
Do
and
you
we're
hear
not...
the people sing, singing the sound of URN?
That's quite good.
Thank you.
I like the little musical element we've got in Extra Extra. I don't think it's originally what the show was aiming for, but it's all they've got now. What did they expect putting two musical theatre hosts in charge?
Oh,
parades and singing.
Okay, so back to the actual news, sort of down at the other end of the scale from the Oscars and much closer to home. What has been causing students disruption other than the snow?
This is the uni strikes that have been going on. 64 universities are striking, with 1 million students affected. Basically, the Universities and College Union, the UCU, are angry at proposed changes to pensions that Universities UK are wanting to implement. It's basically meaning that people will be £10,000 worse off. That is the correct... For a second I went, that is how you say numbers. I thought I said 1,000 and I was like, that doesn't sound as bad as like 10,000. I was going to go 10K and then I changed it.
Was there a moment where you just sort of went, I don't know what they're complaining about?
100 quid? Nah, here nor there. This is why I should not be in charge of finance of Germany, but here we go. Only pre-1992 universities, so basically universities that were not polytechs originally, are affected, hence why there's only 64 unis involved, but it's including the University of Nottingham, so it's a bit close to home.
I don't really know how to feel about the strike, because I support my lecturers, I love my lecturers, they put so much effort into doing what they do and doing it well. Yeah. and educating me and people like me so that I can go and work for the government in Germany and advise them on fields. But at the same time, it's quite nice that it's my 9 a.m. seminar that's been cancelled. But it is a really odd thing, because being, like, as I've said on this show before, like, I'm sort of left of the left. Yeah. I support this sort of thing, but also it's
in
very
the past,
inconvenient.
In the past, you're just like, yes, striking, good, you do that.
Well,
I would join them.
I have an odd thing with strikes, because having studied a lot of them in history, I don't really know any strikes that have worked.
Yeah, I need to, as an ex-history student, I should know more about this. I didn't do much political history, so I don't know much about strikes. But yeah, they can sometimes be effective, but sometimes not.
Well, this is the thing. So when people say the word strike to me, and I realise I'm something of a moron, people say the word strike and I think, okay, general strike of 1926, that went horribly wrong. Minor strike, didn't really get anywhere. Student riots, I know they're not exactly a strike, but when trying to get tuition fees to not go up, they've just gone up again to 9,250, so that's going well. Strike from Strike, the TV show based on the novels by Robert Galbraith, which I was watching last night. And then the strike that features in Living on a Prayer, because Tommy used to work on the docks.
The strike from Newsies.
Yeah, the Newsboy strike, 1899, that's the real strike.
That's all I've got in my head now, is them going, strike. And I can't think of
they
anything else.
They were just
else.
Big fans of Robert Galbraith. That's
they
all it was.
They really wanted him to do well. Yeah, it's weird because they've gone from being just Thursday, Friday to a Monday, Friday, and now
going
full week.
It went Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then next week it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Which sounds a lot like they're trying to... You know when you had shoulders, knees and toes and you miss out a day? That's what I've got in my head and I'm confused. Which
I love you, student.
I should have more to say about this than, like... I'm like, it's like the kids' song. The problem is, for me, is that some of my lecturers aren't affected, but then I have to cross the picket line. But then also, I feel bad imagining, like, a lecturer just sat in a room on their own, like, waiting for students. And then also, I have to walk into work. So I want to, like, I've got my Portland Coffee t-shirt on, and I have to go, I'm going to work, like, pointing at my back, going, look, no, I'm gonna go get money, please.
That is the most British reaction to a strike, isn't it? To go, oh, I really support what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm too ashamed to stop and talk to you as I walk past.
I'm sorry.
What is going to be interesting this week is because here at the Uni of Nottingham, SU elections are happening this week. Where is anyone going to campaign?
Exactly.
Because all of like the prime locations are taken up by strike action.
Yeah.
And I'm not, that's obviously not the biggest issue with this, but like the strike begins at what, like 8-9 a.m. No students camp, even the ones campaigning for the SU are going to be awake at that point.
They're going to be trapped on roundabouts across Nottingham going, we can't move.
I like the idea that it's going to be like that scene in Rock of Ages where you've got
the two lines.
In Rock of Ages, if you haven't seen it, there's a Christian group versus like the rock stars, and they sing an amazing rendition of "We're Not Going to Take It" by Twisted Sister versus "We Built This City" by Starship. And I really like the idea of the lecturers versus the campaigning students.
They may even like agree, but they're like, "But we want this space."
Yeah, we want this space.
And what songs like, would they sing? That is the question.
Well, the lecturers would obviously have rewritten Living on a Prayer.
Indeed.
About strike, because I freaking love that song, Abby.
And indeed, Tommy used to work on the docks, but union's been on strike. And indeed, this lecturers are as well.
We used to lecture inside, but now union's been on strike. We're down on our luck. It's tough, baby. So tough. We just wanted our pensions, but they've taken them away. So we're striking out here for love.
Oh,
for love. It says we gotta hold on to what we've got. It doesn't make a difference if we... Well, see, no, it doesn't, because strikes don't work. Bon Jovi predicted this. Just there's so many problems with the world, Abby.
I feel
and Bon Jovi's the only good thing.
I feel this has gone slightly off message, but okay. Wait, do you want to talk? Do you need a hug? Are you okay?
Just like Nick Clegg when he lost his seat. Sometimes you just need a hug.
Hugging Nick Clegg, you're like, it's gonna be okay, Nick.
It's gonna be okay, Nick. We'll get through this. So those are the biggest news stories of the week. I'm sorry. I just love Bon Jovi. That's the moral. If you don't take anything else from this show, it's that I really love Bon Jovi. But before we go, we do have time for a quick game of U-turn. In this game, I'm going to give Abby a topic and she has to argue completely in favour of it. And then at random points, I'm going to say change and she has to do a complete U-turn and argue the exact opposite of what she was just arguing. And today's topic, Abby, that you have to argue both for and against, is why I should be in charge of agriculture for Germany.
Okay, I'm ready. Maybe. We'll find out, I guess. Considering how well my my summary of it went. It could go either way.
That is very much the point of U-turn, though. So, whenever you're ready.
Okay, you should be in charge of agriculture for Germany. Because as you said, you live in Lincoln. You know perhaps something more about fields than I do, for example. Also...
Really convincing argument so far, Abby.
I know. I'm great at arguing. This is also why you should, because I'm so good at arguing. I'm going to argue that you definitely should be in charge of agriculture.
Change.
Although, you shouldn't, because do you really know anything about, like... actually what goes into agriculture?
Change.
I think you do. I think you do know what goes into agriculture. I think basically fields, cows. What else do they really need?
Change.
Probably someone who knows what they're doing and who has done the job before and even, say, perhaps lives in Germany.
Change.
But outsider perspective, always good to have on hand. You can bring fresh new ideas to the Ministry of Agriculture if they have one, which I presume they do.
At no point have we even considered that.
Even if they don't, you are now the new Minister for Agriculture.
New Minister. You know what? We'll end it there. Germany, get in touch. Honestly.
For either agricultural knowledge or arguing skills.
When you started that, I thought there is no way you're going to be able to argue why I should be in charge of agriculture. That's such a stupid idea. I can't do that job. And now at the end of it, I thought, yeah, I'm going to go and pitch to them why I should be there. So I won't be here next week. Abby's going to be doing extra alone because I'll be off in Germany telling them about fields.
Yep.
Well, you will realise listening to this show how little I know about agriculture, and that every time I mention the word agriculture, I just say the word fields and nothing else.
I think that's all you need. I've never heard any other Minister for Agriculture say anything else, really. So you'll be fine. I think you'll do a great job.
Yeah, but there's like other things beyond fields, like crops and...
That are in fields.
Farms.
That are in fields. All go back to the fields.
Yeah, you know what?
All cycles round.
It's just fields. I could do that.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're coming to the end of this show. Thank you so much, as always, for listening to Extra Extra. It really does mean a lot to us. Thank you, Abby, for joining me here in the studio.
You are welcome.
We'll be back next week, taking you once again through the biggest news stories in what is quite clearly a slightly more unorthodox manner than you may well be used to. I've been Ella Vidrinska. This has been Extra Extra. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. But they now have a government.
But they now have a government.
Which is good.
As of recording. More on this story as it develops. Back to you in the studio. Sorry, I've always wanted to say that.